Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of Trading Conversations, and I'm your host Philip Teo. You are here, my friend, because you believe that profitable trading is one of the most efficient ways to attain financial freedom and can be achieved as long as you are willing to put in the hard work to develop your trading competency. Our goal with this show is to introduce you to the traders who have dug through the trenches and emerged at the other end. From the sharing of their trading stories, strategies, workflow, and best practices, I hope to help you shorten your learning curve as you embark on your journey towards trading mastery. The upcoming interview you will be listening to is part of the online trading summit that we organized and hosted previously. Possibly Asia's first virtual trading conference, I invited more than 32 global trading experts to share their trading knowledge with more than 25,000 traders from around the world. So sit back and enjoy. Welcome to Online Trading Summit. Our next speaker is Rayner Teo, the founder of Trading with Rayner Blog. Because of Rayner's willingness to share his trading knowledge freely, he is now the most followed trader in Singapore with more than 75,000 traders reading his blog every month. On social media, he has attracted nearly 50,000 YouTube followers, 30,000 Twitter followers, and 30,000 highly engaged Facebook group members. During my interview with Rayner, we discussed about his two favorite trading strategies, a longer-term systematic trend-following strategy and a shorter-term discretionary swing trading strategy. Following that, we went on to discuss some of the typical issues faced by the traders he mentored and how he went about helping them to overcome those obstacles. Ready to hear what Rayner has got to share? Let's get going right now! All right, Rayner. Thanks for coming on board this online trading summit to share your experience with the participants about your trading background and all the things that you have learned and done in trading. And so just to kick off this interview, do you mind just, because I was on your website and I on your blog and I saw that helping retail traders prevent or avoid self-destruction, right? So that was a very interesting proposition, which I've not seen in any of the trading influencers or experts around. So maybe would you like to just quickly share how did that inspiration come about and that purpose? And is there any story behind that?
Okay, so basically, I started off trading just like how most traders would start off, right? You know, reading books, the internet. And in my early years of trading, I think this is now my 10th year, 9th or 10th year of trading. So in my early years of trading, you know, there isn't so much information out there. I think that's where the trading industry, the education part hasn't really reached its peak or where it's at right now. So I was always looking through books, learning about it. But at a point of time, I find that there is something lacking, right? What I find lacking is that there isn't enough actionable or rather practical insights that I can apply to my trading, right? Whatever that I come across is not deep enough. And stuff that which I want to go in deeper, you know, I usually have to pay money for courses that could be, you know, anywhere from a few thousand dollars. So that is kind of the problem that I face in my early years of trading. And I know that there are a lot of traders who want to learn about trading, but at the same time, they just can't afford, you know, spending that amount of money to learn how to trade. So my goal down here at, you know, Trading with Rayner is to equip you as much knowledge as possible, and you can apply it to your own trading, right? So whatever I shared in the public domain, it's free, right? However, if you want more handheld, closely mentoring and stuff, that's where I charge. But in terms of knowledge-wise, you know, wanting to learn more about trading techniques and strategies, right? It's pretty much all free out there, and to really help traders to, you know, get them on the right footing, right, in the trading career.
Yeah. I see. So very frequently, I see trading influencers talking about how to help traders become very profitable traders, but yet you choose to use self-destruction as a way to convey your message. Is there any particular reason why to that?
Okay, so in trading, right, everybody wants to make money, but the rite of passage is that before you can make money, you have to play good defense, right? I think there's something like Paul Jones said, right? Is that, you know, you can't just think about the money. You got to think how much you can potentially lose, right? And if you can survive in this business long enough, right, the money will take care of itself. So I'm not here to, you know, help you make shitload ton of money. I'm here to help you play good defense, survive in this business. And I believe, right, if you can do it, right, the money will take care of itself and you will definitely be more than, you know, equipped, right, to do so yourself. But play good defense first is where I want to come from, to help you, you know, manage your risk and, you know, to survive for the long run.
I see. So just to let the participant have an understanding of the background that you have, could you just quickly share with us, like, how do you actually even get started in trading in the first place, and how long ago was that?
Okay, so I just first got started, I would say, back in my army days, right, where I was reading books, you know, people talk about investments, Warren Buffett, value investing, and that's where I got started in the financial markets. So once I finished the army, right, I enrolled into university, I took in a finance course and started dabbling in stocks, you know, and one fine day, a broker came to school and organized a trading competition, and I took part in the trading competition. It was FX, right, and that's pretty much how I got started in trading. Right, so before trading, I just basically dabble a bit in so-called value investing, learning, you know, how people look at annual reports and stuff like that. So that's pretty much how I got started in trading. And when I finished my degree, right, I got the job in the proprietary trading, basically where the firm gave me a pool of capital to trade, and I trade the firm's capital. And I was actually specializing in the Japanese stock market, the Nikkei futures contract, to be specific. Right, so that was there for about a couple of years. Then I moved on and started trading with Rainer and to where I am right now, which is basically I'm trading for myself as well as educating traders on about the financial markets, trading the financial markets.
I see. So while you were a proprietary trader before you actually started trading with Rainer, were you like a intraday short-term kind of trader? What kind of strategies were you focusing on at that point in time?
Yes, at that point in time, I was mainly short-term trader, basically day trading and even scalping the Nikkei future. So I would say it's on the lower time frame, 3 minutes, 5 minutes time frame, and the prop trading side of things.
I see. And how did the trading with Rainer come about? Was it some kind of moments that prompted you to want to decide to start trading with Rainer? What was the circumstances that you decide to leave your prop trading firm to focus solely on trading with Rainer?
Okay, so basically how I started trading with Rainer is, I would say, it's by accident, by luck. So while I was at the firm, right, I had some free time, right, especially when the markets are quiet. There wasn't anything to do, right? So pretty much at that point in time, I figured out what can I do that's meaningful and not a waste of time, right? I didn't want to watch movies or play games. So that's where I realized, you know, starting a blog might make sense, right? Penning down my thought process in my trading, right? So that's where I started a blog, Trading with Rainer, sharing my analysis of the markets and stuff like that. And I guess gradually over time, people took notice of it. People, you know, kind of appreciate what is being shared. And I thought that, hey, you know, maybe this is something that I could share more and see where this leads to. So I would say it's somehow happened by so-called chance or luck, right? I didn't really set out to create the website, and things pretty much, you know, went ahead from there. And the reason why I left the prop trading industry is just quite straightforward, right? Prop trading isn't really a career that you want to be doing for the next 30, 40 years, right? Short term, right? 3 to 5 years, that's fair enough, right? But in the long run, I would say it's not good to do it long term for the long hours, right? Doesn't really have good work-life balance, and it's pretty hard to start a family if you are a prop trader, you know, trading full-time. So that's why I kind of decide that, you know, my trading needs to shift, right, to the medium term to longer term trading. So that's where I move on to swing and position trading, right? And that's pretty much, you know, why I kind of made the transition out from it.
I see. So you started off with a very short-term kind of trading strategy and trading style, and you realized that you need to move longer term because your energy just can't keep up. And so how did you actually, and what is the main strategy that you advocate right now to most retail traders and investors out there that you think is most ideal for them?
So, okay, so there are many strategies out there, but let's talk about concepts. Right? So generally for those of, nope, the people watching that, I suppose you all have full-time job, right? So trading is more of a means to grow your wealth over time, right? So it's a means for you to, you know, to make X percent. Yeah, I don't know what's X percent depending on your goals and your risk element. But so what I suggest going is a swing and position trading approach. Hold your trades for days or even weeks, or if you can, right, even months, right? Hold it longer term so that you can catch the larger swing or the larger trend of the move. The reason for it is that it doesn't require much time compared to day trader or scalper. And on top of it, your transaction cost, your commission you pay would be lesser compared to someone who trades more frequently. So I find that this approach would suit the traders, you know, who have a full-time job, this swing or position trading approach.
I see. And what would be the main strategy? I read from your blog that you focus a lot on price action and trend following, right? Are they actually mutually exclusive, or are they actually a good combination of one another?
Okay, so at this point in time, we can get really down to the exact details. So let's talk about trend following. So trend following basically originated from the futures market. So it basically starts off with the systematic trend following, right? You know, buying commodities or markets in uptrend and shorting those in downtrend. Then along the way, trend following kind of get diluted, right? You have systematic trend followers, discretionary trend followers, people who apply so-called trend following concept on the lower time frame. So generally, if you want to talk about trend following, let's keep it as though as we are trading with the trend, right? So trading with the trend, let's keep it at that, right? So yeah, I would say it's easier for traders to trade with the trend because in the long run, you're pretty much trading in the same direction as the markets, as the trend, right? In the longer term trend. So you kind of increase your odds of the trade working out instead of, you know, going against the trend. So yeah, I would suggest, you know, trader learn how to read a price chart, learn how to identify a trend and trade alongside with the trend. Yeah. So price action, on the other hand, right, is basically a way to read the markets. You know, what is the market doing? What's the market structure? You know, identifying support resistance, identifying what is the stage of the market. Is it in the accumulation stage, distribution stage, advancing stage, declining stage, right? And, you know, learning how to read about, you know, individual candlestick patterns, identifying price rejection and stuff like that. So yeah, they can be complemented together, especially if you want to go with a discretionary trend trading approach, right? Or they can be separate if you just want to go with a systematic trend following with a very precise buy sell signals and stuff like that. So it really depends on the goal of a trader.
I see. So basically what you're trying to say is that there's actually a lot of different ways and styles, especially even for like retail traders and investors. But somehow you have got to decide on a particular a methodology or a strategy in order to be able to use it with conviction thereafter, right? And so maybe would you like just to quickly share with us, how would your typical trading workflow be? And is that based on a swing trading kind of trend following style, or is it a longer term position trading style? How would your workflow generally be, just to offer the participants or the attendees of the summit just some insights about how your thought process?
Okay, so basically right now, I am a trend follower. I have both systematic and discretionary trend following. So firstly, how I start my day is that every day I would dive a program that basically download the end of day data each day and it scan the markets for any trading setups or any trades that I need to put on or exit. So that's like systematic trend following across the futures market, right? So that takes like 10 minutes a day. If there's any setups, there's any entry or exits, I just, you know, follow accordingly. So the remaining, say the next half an hour to an hour is basically, you know, manually scanning the markets, right? Identifying the trading setups that I trade on a discretionary basis, right? Especially markets which are trending, right? And finding a place to put on a trade or to even manage my existing positions from the earlier trades, right? That's pretty much what I do on a day-to-day basis. So first and foremost is settle the systematic trend following and then move on to my discretionary trading. Right there. So typically it takes in the first part of the morning about an hour. And I usually check the charts every 4 hours or so because I trade off the 4 hour and the daily time frame. Yeah.
Okay. So you trade using the 4 hour and daily time frame.
That's
so
right.
Your positions, usually how long would you be holding for both your discretionary and your systematic trading strategy?
Okay. So for systematic trend follow, it tends to last longer because I tend to catch longer trend for the systematic trend following strategy, right? For the discretionary, it's a shorter term because I my goal for that is catching the shorter term and medium term trends. So systematic trend following, right? If the trade works out, it can hold for months easily or even years, right? 1 or 2 years. For discretionary trend following, it doesn't last as long, right? If I'm wrong, right? Sometimes it hits my stops, I can get out within a day or so. But if it does goes in my favor, I typically hold positions for, I would say, a few weeks for the discretionary side of things.
I see. So let's dive a bit deeper on that systematic trend following approach that you have that is generally more longer term. Because I think for some of the traders who don't have time or doesn't want to spend so much time in terms of looking at the market and looking for ideas, that could be a way that they could tap into in terms of how they actually still put their capital to use in the market. So when we talk about this systematic, slightly longer term kind of strategy, is there any particular signals and insights that you're looking out for before you actually get into a trade? And actually, do you allow your system to actually tell you what these signals are and do they actually automatically get into the trade itself, or do you still have to make a decision whether to get in or not?
Okay, the rules are very black and white, so there is no discretion on my part. It says buy means buy, and the entry trigger is very simple. I simply buy breakouts, right? I buy the 200 day breakouts and I simply trail my stop loss. If the market moves in my favor, I trail my stop loss. If not, there's a protective stop loss to get me out of the trade. I guess the so-called secret ingredient to systematic trend following is that you must trade this strategy across the right portfolio mix. Means you got to trade it across the forex markets, commodities, bonds, indices, energy markets. So spread it out across the different sectors out there. If you just apply it to, let's say, indices or just apply it only to the FX markets, it can be disastrous because there are times where those markets don't trend. And if you don't trend, you're just going to get whipsaw and you know, suffer a very bad drawdown. So to kind of, you know, diversify the risk, right, you want to be trading across different sectors of market. That's what I just mentioned, right? FX, commodities, bonds, indices, gold, metal, energy, etc.
I see, yeah. I see. So you actually approach this systematic trend following strategy more in terms of a portfolio kind of a management, so that when right. some of them actually has trends, you can actually counter off some of those instruments that is not trending and you get stopped out as a result. Oh, I see, I see. So, and do you actually apply this systematic trend following strategy on more smaller instruments or like stocks or individual currency pairs and stuff like that as well? Or do you just look at more of the macro instruments to apply this systematic trend following strategy?
Okay, for systematic trend following, I've strictly only trade across it as a portfolio of markets and not on any individual markets. Yeah. So it's always a portfolio of markets. And the key thing is, for me especially, is that you want to have a equally or close to equally weighted portfolio of markets. So if you like having 10 FX markets, you want to have 10 indices or 10 bonds. You don't have like 10 FX, 2 bonds and 5 indices. It's not going to balance over time. So you also want to have, you know, a closely equal weighted. Of course, there are hedge funds out there that is more commodity heavy. Some are more financial heavy. But for me, I go with a more equal weighting across the different sectors.
I see. So at any point in time, usually, how many positions do you have for your this systematic strategy?
Okay, it really varies. Right? It really depends on the market conditions. Like right now, I have about 24 positions right now, because I'm trading about 50 markets. So yeah, about 24 positions, right? Of course, if markets are really trending, it can go up to, you know, 30 or even more. But generally, I would say 15 markets to the low end, to the high end, to about 30 plus. Yeah.
So I see.
That range, yeah.
Mm-mm. So I suppose you do have a separate portfolio for your systematic, or let's say a separate capital base for your systematic strategy as well as your discretionary strategy. Is that the case for you?
Yeah, that's right. I separate the two accounts. I don't mix them up together.
I see. So in terms of sizing your discretionary your systematic strategy, how do you typically size them? Like if you decide to get into this position for your systematic strategy, how many percent of that capital base do you actually apply to? Is there any particular way how you size your trade in terms of getting into that strategy?
Yes, I risk not more than 1% of, meaning if the trade gets stopped out, right, it will not cost me more than 1% of my account. That's my risk management for the systematic trend following. Yeah. So it may seem, well, it really depends on some people may think it's little, some may think it's too much, right? But that's the 1% pretty much suits me okay, right? For me, yeah.
I see. So if you have, let's say, about 20 positions each risking 1%, so sometimes it's possible that your total risk exposure could be going up to 20 to 30% potential drawdown?
Definitely. In terms of the drawdown, in terms of the historical backtesting, it can go up to, you know, 25-30% drawdown. But it's unlikely to have all 20 positions get stopped out at the same time, because you are pretty much, you know, trading different directions, different markets, different sectors. So some are trending nicely in the money, some are against you. So in the overall grand scheme of things, the core idea is pretty much losers get chopped off, cut off, and the winners, you ride it for as long as it lasts. So that's the core idea behind it. Yeah, but I don't rule out, you know, suddenly all the positions can, you know, swing against you at one time, but not often it happens. I would say it's on rare instances that happens.
And does that mean that you would have to allow a wider stop loss compared to your entry price in order not to get whipsawed out that easily?
Yes, because since this is a longer term trend following a system, my stop loss are pretty wide. In fact, I use about 6 ATR as my stop loss. So you can just look at a daily time frame. What is the ATR value? Multiply it by 6, right? That's on average my stop loss for my positions.
I see. So you said you use trailing stop. So does that mean that you are constantly measuring your next stop loss as 6 ATR below the current price, the current closing price?
Oh, okay. So what it does is that if the price makes a new high, then you just need to calculate a 6 ATR from the high, and that's where your new trailing stop loss should be. And since, you know, the market doesn't really make new highs every single day, right? So sometimes the stop loss doesn't really need to be adjusted much. So I mean, because I have a program that actually does all this calculation for me. So every day I just scan the market, it will tell me which trades needs to be managed, which trades needs to be exit, and so on and so forth. Makes my life easier.
Okay, so do you actually pyramid on your trades for this particular strategy?
No, I don't.
You don't. So you just get into one single position and you just let the course run itself out, either hitting your trailing stop loss or it hits your, it just basically just one trailing stop loss that you focus on, right, for the exit.
That's right. Correct.
I see. So wow, that makes things way easy, and I suppose you don't really have to spend much time on this particular system. So is there at any point in time that you go back to review your system and to make any refinements and adjustments to that?
No, not really. I mean, because for systematic trend following, the core essence is basically, you know, cutting losses, riding a profit. No matter how you look back, right, there's no point looking back on hindsight and then, you know, making all these small adjustments, because in the grand scheme of things, right, what matters is trade across a wide variety of markets, cut your losses, ride your winners, and that's pretty much it. And also, I do track hedge funds who apply systematic trend following approach. I see how their performance on a month-to-month basis, what are their drawdown. If I'm pretty much in line with them thereabout, I pretty much know how the strategy fares. Right? Because if, like, let's say, for example, February wasn't a good month for most hedge funds, for me, for most systematic trend following hedge funds, right, most of them are down, and I look that I'm down, I pretty much know that, you know, we're all in this together. And if certain months, you know, it's a good month, like January is a good month for most hedge funds, I know, you know, pretty much the strategy is working the way it's supposed to work. It's kind of like, you know, if the big boys are down and you're down, it makes sense. If you're up, they're up, you know, you're all in the same boat trading similar strategy. The only difference is they're trading much bigger size of capital, and maybe their strategy is a little bit more complex because they can trade longer term, medium term, and short term all into one hedge fund as a strategy itself, because they have large capital. But I don't. I just trade the longer term trend following.
I see. So as for this system, for this systematic trend following strategy, roughly what's the portfolio size of this strategy compared to your discretionary ones? Are they like 50-50, or do you have any particular preference to how to size each different strategy accordingly?
Yes, I would say it's about 50-50. I think to be exact, it's about 60-40, right? 60% more to systematic trend following and 40% in discretionary. And the honest truth behind it is because as my funds grow, right, I find that systematic trading takes the emotions out of trading for me personally, right? Because whereas you are trading discretionarily, right, there is subjectivity involved. The emotions somehow feel heavier compared to trading systematic. Yeah, so this is why, you know, my systematic one is a more capital is allocated to it. And also I trade different systematic strategies to kind of, you know, balance out the equity curve over time.
Okay. And so let's move on to your discretionary strategy right now. So you said earlier on that your discretionary strategy, it's more towards a swing trading, price action kind of thing, right? And the horizon usually could be lasting from, do you trade as low as a few, hold as low as a few days? Or do you actually typically look at holding it for weeks to months, depending on the situation?
Okay, it seldom lasts for months, right? You know, if it really goes, because I'm only looking to capture one swing on a daily time frame, and if it lasts one swing, usually matter of few weeks, right? That swing, it's over. So usually most of my trades, if it does okay, it lasts a few weeks. Those that doesn't do well, it's matter of, you know, a few days, I get stopped out. Yeah.
I see. Is there any particular reason why, on top of that systematic trading strategy, you've decided that you want to have another discretionary trading strategy to execute as well? Is there any reasons behind that?
Okay, so basically I started off as a discretionary trader. So the systematic trend following come later only. So I've been a discretionary trader, and only recently then I see the power of systematic trading, and that's where I move on into systematic trading. So all along I've been a discretionary trader, and I just, you know, kind of, you know, keep things the way it is. So there's really, yeah, no reason to it.
I see. Is there something that excites you about discretionary trading to be able to like do some analysis and then look out for signals and then gets you into the thing? And do you think that if, let's say, a new retail trader or investor is starting to get into learning how to trade, which way do you think would be a better way for him to start?
Okay, so as of right now, there's really no more excitement anymore, because, you know, you've been doing it for years. The setups are the same over and over again. You don't know which setup will make money. You just, you know, just manage your risk and, you know, ride your gain. So not much thrill anymore. And back to the second part of your question, of which approach should a trader or investor go? So really, it depends on their goals, right? I mean, if you want some kind of, you know, intellectual challenge, right? Then systematic trading, there's no intellectual challenge because it's very dead. Buy, sell, that's it. Follow the rules. Whereas discretionary trading, that it does provide an intellectual challenge to it. So although traders say they want to make money, but there's always a secondary reason to behind why they want to trade. And some of it would say because they like the intellectual challenge. So you have to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, why are you getting into trading? If it's for the intellectual challenge, the gaming, the feel of winning, right? Then, you know, you might want to, you know, learn more about discretionary trading, reading price action and stuff like that. But if your sole purpose is just to get on with life, grow your wealth systematically and, you know, not do anything else in the most cost-efficient way possible, then systematic trading would be an approach you want to go with, right? Little to analyze, follow the rules, do it in the long run, and the results will show for itself. Yeah.
Okay, so for this discretionary swing trading, do I suppose that it's also based on a trend following kind of a strategy, like having a trailing stops to that particular strategy?
Yes, the idea is pretty much the same, right? Just that instead of just trading the 200-day breakouts, I also trade pullback, right? And different so-called chart patterns, if you want to call it, right? Like, you know, a breakout followed by a bullish flag. I do trade this type of simple chart patterns as well. But the idea is still the same. Cut your losses and try to ride your winners or trail your stop loss, right, as the market moves in your favor. So the core concept is pretty much the same, but the way you manage the trade, the way you enter the trade, that's the difference, right? But otherwise, you know, the core concept is pretty much the same.
Okay, could you share with us how from idea generation until the closing of a trade and reviewing the trade, how is your workflow and process like for this discretionary swing trading and trend following kind of strategy?
Okay, so maybe we can, first and foremost, what I like to do is that I look at a chart and ask myself, right, what is the stage of this market? So the market typically moves from one of four stages. The accumulation stage happens when the market is trading lower, then it goes into a range, right? And it can range for a long period of time, right? So that is a potential accumulation stage, because at this point in time, you know, not many people want to enter because the downtrend is so long, nobody wants to buy. So this range is called the accumulation stage. And if the market breaks out of the accumulation stage, is where we call it the start of a new uptrend or advancing stage. Higher highs, higher lows, blah, blah, blah. And the market won't go up forever, right? Eventually, it has to, you know, get tired, wear down, right? People take profit. It moves on into what I call a distribution stage. Again, it looks like a range, but this time around, the range is in an uptrend, right? And eventually, enough people take profit, short sellers come in, right? The market is going to break down. And from the distribution stage, it goes down into a declining stage. So first and foremost, right, now that you have an idea of what these four stages are, the first question to ask yourself is that what, based on the chart that you're looking at, the market, what is the stage of the market in right now? Advancing, declining, blah, 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 whichever. Define it, right? Sometimes it's hard to define. If it's hard to define, move on and find something else. So let's say the market is in a potential accumulation stage. I think it's going to break out higher. So what I look for is, again, signs that the market will break out of that range, right? So maybe, for example, the market could come into resistance, right? Consolidate for, you know, 5 to 10 days, very tight range candles. And then on the 11th day, it break out higher. I'll be looking to buy the breakout and see whether it moves on into the advancing stage, as what I, you know, just shared earlier. So that's typically how I analyze the chart, classify into one of the four stages, find a logical place to place an entry, set a proper stop loss, and give the trade room to run. Right? That's the core idea behind it.
Is that based on a trailing stop as well for your stop for this discretionary trading strategy?
That's right. Trailing stop as well. Yeah, but trailing I don't stop. Do 6 ADR. I use a shorter term trailing stop loss.
Okay. And do you like scale in and scale out? I know, not at all. Just a single position.
I used to do that previously, but right now I don't do it anymore. Yeah.
Is it because it takes a lot of effort to keep getting in touch with how it's doing and think about how to calculate and size the scaling in and scaling out?
Okay, that's quite okay, actually. I think the main reason is because now that I'm trading more portfolio of markets, like sometimes my positions, right, they're all correlated already. So even if I were to scale in, right, I already have other positions that might have a similar, like for example, you long Aussie dollar, you long New Zealand dollar, and you scale in more Aussie dollar, right, you're just basically exposing yourself more to the dollar. So to me, since I'm already trading, you know, portfolio of markets with similar correlated markets, there's really no need to scale in anymore because I may have other positions which already have a similar trend bias or similar trade direction.
That's true. So for this discretionary trading strategy, what are the kind of instruments that you use? Do you actually look at stocks or you just purely look at individual currency pairs?
I look mainly at the FX and futures market as well. Similar to my own systematic trend following portfolio of markets, right? But I would say some markets I don't trade, reason being because the broker on the discretionary trading, right? They don't offer those instruments. Yeah. They don't offer as many instruments as the systematic trend following broker that I'm with. So that's the reason why I don't trade as many as the systematic trend following markets that I do trade.
So do you look at equities as well, like things like the more liquid ones like the US market or the Hong Kong market? And do you think the strategies that you use can actually be applied to all those markets as well? And any reason why you're actually not trading those markets?
I look at it in terms of indices, but not really the individual stocks, right? Yeah. So I look at it, I trade it in terms of the index, like the S&P 500, NASDAQ. Yeah, those are fine, right? I find that the principles and concepts, it work the same, but I don't really trade individual stocks. Yeah. Not that I wouldn't say not because it doesn't work, but because at this point in time, right, for me, I'm really pretty much occupied with futures and FX right now. So there's really no need at this point in time to go and trade individual stocks since I have ample opportunities on the FX and futures market. Yeah.
I see. So what is, like, for example, three of your favorite setups that you always hope to be able to see and find it happening in those instruments that you are tracking?
I would say I like to trade a trend continuation trade. So for example, market is trending, does a pullback, a weak pullback. That's a very straightforward setup to trade. Second one would be what I call a false break. Market breaks out of resistance or breaks down of support and then suddenly do a 180 degree reversal and goes back into the range. That's another setup that I do trade. And the third one is just a very typical breakout. Markets in a range for a long period of time, finally it breaks out. I look to, you know, trade the breakout as well. I'll say these are my three core setups that I do trade.
I see. All right. So let's move on to this part, because I understand that you actually do help to coach traders as well as part of your other business model on top of actually doing your own independent trading. So I understand that you exclusively coach traders just through an online basis. Is that the truth? And how did that idea actually came about to you?
Yes, I do. Everything is all online based, and I think it's quite natural since, you know, I had a blog, people request for more coaching, more help. Then I would say, you know, the mentoring program is kind of like just, you know, naturally leads down that road to how it happened.
I see. So to date, how many traders have you actually been part of this mentoring program? And where are they usually based? Are they like based in Singapore, in Asia, or could be around the world?
Okay. So in terms of the mentoring, about 250 traders to date. Maybe 40-50% from Singapore, and the remaining is pretty much over the world. You have US, UK, India, Philippines, right? Yeah, that's the ratio there about.
I see. Because this is a very interesting part as well, because you have like first row seat to understanding how traders other than yourself typically think about, because they share with you about their issues that they have. Not to be like very, very specific on which trader, but generally as you coach all these 250 traders, what are the common kind of issues that they typically bring up to you, or you could typically identify with them to be able to help them? Maybe that's something that would be really useful for the summit attendees to understand.
Okay, so I think one of the core issues that keep coming back is that they just don't have a plan, right? So they just look like, you know, like for example, I just shared like different ways to trade the market, trend trading, etc., or trend following, and then they'll just, you know, go back, look at the chart and try this method without really diving in deep to understand, you know, the core concept idea behind why it works, right? So if you're just going to dabble, you know, everything, every new stuff that you come across, right, then when the losing streak come, you're just going to give up and, you know, move on to something else. So that's one of the biggest problem I see, right, is that they just don't dive in deep enough into a trading methodology, studying, you know, why it works, how it works, and then applying it consistently. So that's one. Another thing is that trend following it's simple to execute, but it's not easy to trade because of the drawdown that comes with it. You can have drawdowns in terms of years, right? You know, losing years, and not many traders can swallow it, right? So, you know, traders may learn a new strategy. Strategy works well, right? And they trade it for 1 year, and after that 1 year, they realize they lost money. And they say that, hey, you know, I know in the long run, the big picture works, but over the last 1 year, I've tried this strategy. It doesn't work, right? It feels that I know I'm, you know, not making any progress, right? Even though that's kind of, you know, part and parcel of trend following. So I would say that's one of the biggest issues that I see traders face. Yeah.
So how do you actually go about helping them to overcome this kind of obstacle? Is this something that as a mentor, you can do something about it or get them to commit to something about it? Or is it just something that they would just really just have to overcome it by themselves?
So of course, at this point of time, me as a mentor, I will, you know, share with them the facts of what trend following is like, the year-by-year breakdown, the month-to-month breakdown, and explain to them that's the reality of trading. I think knowing that you are in this with other similar trend followers or even the hedge funds, right, helps with the psychology, because if those big boys managing billions of dollars have a down year, a down month, you kind of know that you're doing something right, right? Whereas if you make money and most of in the industry actually lost money, you know, you should be a little worried because, you know, why am I making money when most of them executing similar strategies are, you know, losing money, right? Once or twice is okay, but if that happens repetitively, right, it's a cause for concern. So I would say looking at what others are doing, applying similar strategies, right, if they are in the same boat, you know, you're pretty much okay, right, since that is the part and parcel of the strategy itself.
I see. So when I did trading, I also tried like longer term position trading as well as shorter term swing trading. And one thing that I realized is that when you try to go longer term, it takes a long time to feel confident about your strategy, because that's what you said, when you look at more long term position trend following, it sometimes you have drawdowns and you start to doubt yourself whether your strategy is working out or not. So does that actually make sense that for new traders, maybe they should start at looking trading shorter term and be able to get more feedbacks in terms of their strategy first before they start to move longer term? Or do you think they should actually start longer term first before they go shorter term?
Okay, so I think there are two ways to look at it. So for the first one, I would say the easiest way to overcome it is, you know, if you have a software that can do all this backtesting work, especially for systematic strategies, you do the backtest work, right? I mean, in a proper backtest environment, right, you would have more strategies to trade it in the long run. So, I mean, if traders have access to these type of resources, right, that's a good way to work at it. Whereas on the other hand, traders who are not systematic or don't have access to these resources, right, if you were to trade the shorter term, right, then yes, you can get more feedback, right? But at the same time, right, the emotional level, right, may be quite different to longer term trading. So if you want to, you know, trade a shorter term, right, or you want to trade a longer term, at least understand why your strategy makes money in the first place. If you can't answer the question why your strategy makes money, there's no point trading it at all, right? Because when the drawdown comes, all, you know, all confidence and everything will be thrown out the window. So it's very important to understand why your strategy makes money. Yeah, that's first and foremost the most important. Yeah. So once you understand why it makes money, right, then you have the confidence to trade it in the future. Yeah. So of course, right, if you, like you said, right, you said trading off the daily time frame, it may take time to get feedback, right? But I'll say there's really no shortcut to it, right? That's why traders take years to kind of, you know, develop or become a profitable trader. So if you trade off the 4-hour and daily time frame, it might take 1 or 2 years to get enough data to see, you know, how you fare. But of course, if that is too long for you, you can go down to a shorter time frame, 1 hour time frame, 4 hour time frame, and try it and see how it works. But at the same time, you know, you have to bear in mind that things will move so much faster and you may be more prone to errors and mistakes. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think is actually the easiest and the hardest thing to apply in trend following from your personal experience and from your mentoring of your students?
Okay, let's talk about the hardest thing. The hardest thing is definitely, you know, trading it in a period of drawdown, right? Like you see, you know, losing months, right? Like I think February, March, and April wasn't good months. It's difficult to keep pulling on the trigger, right? But again, you have to do it, because if you skip it, right, then, you know, whatever results, backtested results that you have is all voided, because you're not even following the rules in the first place. The easiest thing about this is, I would say the concept is very simple. Anybody can do it. In fact, in people in the 80s or 60s are just using pen and paper and, you know, developing this strategy. So the strategy-wise, it's not difficult. The execution, consistently over time, that's the hard part about this this approach.
I see. Oh, that's really great, Rainer. So just as a conclusion to this interview that we have, do you have any advice or any last conclusion for, let's say, a trader that is looking to get into trend following? How, if you were in that position again, all over again, how would you get started in trend following strategies? Is there like some kind of books that you go to get and read? Is there some kind, of course, other than the blog that you have, is there any other kind of personality that you want to study in order to get started in this trend following kind of trading strategy?
Personality wise, I do not know what type of personality people would suit trend following, but definitely you have to be comfortable losing. You have to be comfortable being wrong, right? If you're the type of person that you have big ego, you want to be right, then trend following is not for you. In fact, trading may not even be for you. So if you want to get started on trend following, again, you can go down to my website, tradingwithrainer.com. I have pretty much articles on it. Also read books on trend following. I think Following the Trend by Andreas Klarno is a good book. Trend Following by Michael Covell is another good book to start off. Can read The Turtle Traders as well, even though the strategy doesn't seem to work in recent times anymore, but the concept, right, the idea behind it, it's still pretty much valid. So I would say, you know, if you want to learn more about trend following, there are books out there that, you know, can expose you to it. Read it, understand why it works, the why is so important, right? And then after which you can, you know, formulate strategies to kind of, you know, take advantage of this phenomenon in the markets.
All right. Thank you so much for your time today, Rainer. It was really very insightful, and I believe that the summit participants will be able to get some ideas about whether they should start with more longer-term position trading or start to look at swing trading. But generally, trend following is definitely one of the key concepts and principles in trading that anyone should be able to start with. So thank you so much for your time, for sharing with the summit participants, and I wish you all the best in whatever that you plan to do for trading with Rainer and any upcoming endeavors that you have.
Thank you, Philip. The pleasure is mine.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Trading Conversations. If you'd like to access past and future episodes of this podcast, please head to traderwave.com/podcast to learn more. That's it from me for now, my friends. I'm your host, Philip Teo, and I look forward to have you joining us again in the next episode of Trading Conversations.